We'll start to get into this. We don't have a lot of time, so I'll try to whip through this as fast as I can. Isaiah 5:8, and I was in a message one time, and I spotted this, the woe unto. Usually it's repeated in a group of verses or whatever, and that's what we have here in Isaiah 5:8. We have, woe unto them that join house to house, to lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. I looked down through some of these, and it was in the Old Testament specific, or basically, woe unto, and it was us, me, their soul, the wicked, them, thee, and him were some of them that I saw. Woe unto, and then that next verse. If you go into Matthew, it was where Jesus is actually talking. In Matthew, it was woe unto the world. Scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites was always listed together. Woe unto the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. And one of them was also world. Now, I looked it up on my phone. There's 56 verses found that had woe unto something. Okay. Now, as a point, woe unto is not a good phrase. That's usually something that's followed by it that you need to learn from. So we'll drop down to verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, and that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. That doesn't sound like a good thing. It's trying to tell you to not be in excess, do not be drinking that much. Drinking affects everyone, is what I would say to that, okay? There's not somebody in your family that's not being affected by it if you can't stop drinking.
Yeah.
Somebody's being affected by it. It's the truth, okay? So go to Isaiah 28 real quick. Keep your finger there. Go to Isaiah 28. If I can do this quick. Verses 7 and 8. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up by wine, up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place to clean. Doesn't sound good, does it? Not really. Maybe that's the reason that God put in there, whoa, don't do that. It's not a good thing. It's been discussed several times when we talk about alcohol that it may not affect everybody the same way. We've talked about you have to be the right example to those around you. If you're not, and if you think it's okay to go get drunk, you're not leaving a very good example. You're going to have people questioning you, questioning what you're doing because of that. Okay, does that make sense? Verse 20 of Isaiah 5. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Well, that doesn't sound very good either, does it? Something wrong.
Yeah, the sound's not working. Just keep going ahead here.
Okay.
There's some people enjoying it more without sound.
I appreciate that. So my we got sound?
You got it now.
So did I just do verse 20, right?
Yes.
So verse 20, be sure what you say is the truth. That might be I'm usually a nervous wreck up here. You can laugh at me because I'm a fool. I'm afraid that I'm going to lead somebody wrong in the Bible. That's what bothers me, that I may say something that somebody follows and then they're wrong. That scares me.
Amen.
Just to be truthful.
Amen.
Anyways, we should, with our daily walks, we should be worried about what we're saying, what we're putting off, what we're like. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That doesn't sound very good either. They don't think so highly of yourself. God has all the wisdom. There's a lot of times we think we're as smart as God or we got it figured out. God is a God of wisdom. He will give you what you need, but you need to be able to control, not make yourself puffed up, not make yourself something that you're not. It might be through Jesus Christ that you are something at all. And again, you need to give him the credit for that, not try to take it yourself. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are nightly to drink wine, mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. So again, we're back to alcohol. Now, I just picked some of these down through here in Isaiah because I saw them one day. And so I'm not saying every one of them's in here. I'm not saying every way to live your life is in here. But this is some of them, so I grabbed them. So verse 22, don't drink to fit in or get man's approval. That's another reason that when I was not walking for the Lord and I went to the bars, it was to get man's approval. It was to fit in with my friends. Don't see my friends ever, my old friends, okay? It's not very important. They're gone. Verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the God of the hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Mm-hmm. When you read these woes, do you look at it in that context? Do you fear God when you read those woes? You just say, oh, woe to strong egg, okay, whatever. Woe to being proud in your own eyes, okay, whatever. Woe, are you saying God put that woe there for a reason? It wasn't just to put in a goofy word and say, whoa. Put it there for you to pay attention, to notice it. If you are okay with God's anger, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. If you're okay with it, just keep going. I don't want God's anger and wrath on me. I've already done enough to get that. A definition of woe. I'll relay a little story of my life. We had ponies when we were young. We had two ponies. And you put a bridle on them, you put a bit in their mouth, and then you pull on the reins, and they turn left, they turn right, they stop, they go forward, they back up by your bit, by using the bit. But what do you usually hear people saying when the horse is running and they need it to slow down?
Whoa.
Whoa. You think that's why God put woe in the Bible? Whoa, stop doing what you're doing. Turn from it. Get away from it. Go a different direction. Every word that's in here is for a reason. And it's not just to go, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. Look in there and see if there's anything that you need to say, whoa, this is affecting my life. Whoa, I need to turn from this. Whoa, I need to back up from this.
That's good.
Amen.
We had, again, the two ponies. One was old. He was mine. And you didn't even need to put a saddle on him or bridle him up. When I was 8, 10 years old, I'd go out when I was bored. I'd climb on his back. I'd lay down on him, and he'd just walk around and eat. I'd fall asleep. That's how mild-mannered he was. He was too old to fight me. My brother's pony was much younger, much faster. We had an apple tree out back, and it had one low branch. And when he was sick of my brother being on there, he'd head right straight for that branch. Now, I've seen my brother have the horse's head all the way over this way, telling him, whoa, 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 off the pony he goes. That pony wanted his own way. He didn't care what my brother did. He didn't care how hard he was pulling on the reins. He didn't care how he was saying, whoa. He went off the back of that pony every time. We would be racing, and his pony would be faster, and he'd get out, and he'd get lonely, and he'd just slam on the brakes. My brother would go over the handlebars. It didn't matter how many times he told him, whoa. It didn't matter how many times he told him, stop it. That horse had its own mind. That pony had its own mind. Much like us. We have this Bible that tells us, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we can't whoa. We can't do it. I'm not going to turn to there, but Matthew 23:13, it starts to woe unto the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. Who here is not a hypocrite? I mean, we can say, well, that said to the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm sure I've been a hypocrite 3 or 4 times today alone.
Amen. Come on.
Have I said, whoa, stop doing that? Unfortunately not. But I got to get to that point, because in Matthew, that's in the bright red letters. That was Christ saying, whoa. It wasn't just the Old Testament saying it. It wasn't prophets saying it. This was Jesus Christ himself saying, whoa, this is a problem. There's an issue. Go to Matthew 18 with me, please. Matthew 18:7-9. I'm just going to pick up in a spot here. Woe unto the world because of offenses. How many of us don't follow God's word because we're afraid we offend somebody with the word of God? For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, we've all heard these ones before, but we're going to read through verses 8 and 9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with 1 eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell of fire. Is there anything wrong with those? I mean, we don't go around cutting off arms. We don't go around cutting off feet. We don't pluck our eyes out. But God said, starting in verse 7, whoa, start your slow. Stop being mean to people around you. Stop hurting those people that are your closest to you, which should be Christian men and women. Don't be a scribe. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a hypocrite. Again, easy to say, harder to do. Let's go to Romans 14. I'll try to finish this up quickly. Romans 14, verses 10 through 13. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That stuff I've just been talking about, those woes. If you're not listening to him, you're going to give an account to God. Mm-hmm. He says every word.
Yeah.
He tells you, whoa, stop doing this. Whoa, you're going to give an account for this. Change it now so this is a much smoother process when you get to glory. I don't really want to be, I mean, I want to meet God and I want to be around God and I want to see Jesus, but I don't want to be in that line with the list being read off of what I did. I'd like to bypass that, but unfortunately I'm a sinner. I'm going to have to stand there and give accounts, but that's what these woes are for. Woe unto this, don't do it in your life. Woe unto this, you won't have to give another account for it. Verse 12, then every one of us give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We were talking about drinking earlier. And you can say, well, Mr. Ford, I have one a day. It's not a big deal. It's not an addiction. It's this, it's that. True. I hear from everybody, drinking is not in the Bible. Strong drink is. You're not to be a drunkard. That's it. I'm not a drunkard. I have a drink here or there. That last part of that verse. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I had a pastor do a message on this. He was talking about when he was in seminary, they actually did a full, drinking the wine, eating the bread, communion. They decided to do it with real alcohol to be an actual Jewish thing. What they didn't know was one of the guys was a recovering alcoholic. He said they had to set up with him for a whole night because he was a mess. That's where that stumbling block comes in. You might be able to drink. You may be able to do those different things, and it doesn't bother you. You might not know that somebody that comes into the house of God, you invite them over, and they see a beer in your house, in your fridge, and they say, well, he's a Christian. He can do it. Why can't I? That's putting a stumbling block in front of other people. Wouldn't it be easier just to not drink?
Yeah.
Snuff was a big thing when I was a kid. I even had the can in my pocket when I was a kid to fit in. What would my teens think of me if I had a ring in my back pocket when I'm working with them? He does it. That's a stumbling block. We need to be living our lives, whether you have to physically think about everything you're doing to make sure somebody isn't seeing the stumbling block, that your Bible reading is, you're not just doing it to be a witness. Oh, I'm getting ready to read my Bible, everybody. You need to be doing it because you want to be into the Word of God and see, find out what the woes are in here, the things you need to change in your life, the things you need to change in your family. With that, we'll have our last song. If Grace can get up. It will be page 279, Showers of Blessings, 279.